What you missed on Weekend Mornings with Jason Dacey. Only on Money FM 89.3.
This is the Fitwell segment here on Money FM 89.3 as we count down to the Standard Chartered Singapore Marathon on the 8th and 9th of December. Expecting 50,000 people competing this year. And to talk about training techniques, we're joined by my friend Ben Pullum, who's the former New Zealand professional triathlete living here in Singapore and working in the fitness industry. Good to see you, Ben.
How are you, Jason?
I'm great. I'm great. Been many years, and I know how fit you are because you've won some races here in Singapore over the years, and you work in your own business now, of course, with Coached. You're the founder of Coached. We're going to talk about your business later on, but firstly, we're into the 14-week countdown to the marathon. So what should people be doing now?
Well, if you haven't started already, now is definitely the time. Unfortunately, when you do these long races, they take some endurance. And the only way to build endurance comes over a period of weeks. So if you haven't started, today is the day to get out, lace up the shoes and start running. In terms of what you need to be doing, my best advice is to run at a conversational pace. So that's actually a pretty easy pace where you can talk with your buddies. Mm-hmm. Find some hills in Singapore that you can run over because that will help to build some strength.
Okay, so 14 weeks, it's not too late to start training. I think there are still some places left, aren't there? Because we always worry about trying to get into the marathon, the Standard Chartered Singapore Marathon. It's so popular these days.
It is. It's a huge race. And I was down at the Safra Army Half this morning too. There were tens of thousands of people out doing their event this morning. Mm. And I have no doubt that the Singapore Marathon will be exactly the same.
Yeah, we saw some road closures for the Safra race, another really good race here in Singapore. So talk us through the kind of things with the marathon training. You know, there's the half marathon training, there's the full marathon training. So how do they differ and what should people be doing now, like 14 weeks out, which is just over, I guess, 4 months?
Sure. Well, in terms of process, whether you're running the 10K, the half marathon or the marathon, the process is pretty similar. And the whole idea is that you want to have a progressive build-up. A lot of people, when they sign up for a race, are pretty eager. Mm. And they go like a bull out of a gate and they do too much volume,
yep,
running too far, too soon. Mm. And they do too much intensity, running too fast, too soon. Mm-hmm. And often that will end them up hurt.
Yep.
I heard a stat the other day that something like 80% of people that run each year are getting hurt. And
that's a high stat.
It's really high, yeah. Mm. And in my experience, that's largely the result of ego getting in the way and people doing more than what they're currently capable of doing. And so with the build-up, you want to be very progressive. And I know it's hard. It takes a little bit of self-control. But as of now, 14 weeks out, you want to be running a little bit at a low intensity. And as the weeks pass and you get a bit fitter, you extend the length of the run.
Mm.
And I'm talking from a time point of view, by the way, guys, as well, not a distance point of view.
Okay.
Start with 20 minutes, go to 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes over a period of time, and the distance will be what it will be. Well, running to time helps to balance stress. If you run 10K up a mountain, it takes a lot longer than if you run 10K down a mountain.
Yeah.
Versus when you run for time, 60 minutes to 60 minutes, and it self-corrects for the hills and the weather and levels of fatigue and things like that. So build out a base. As the weeks pass, you want to start to do some strength training. So get on the hills, start running some hills, do some squats and things like that to build your strength. And then in the last few weeks before the race, you want to start doing some race-specific speed work. So that's where you start to do the more sexy type of training, where you're running a bit faster.
And what about the really long distances? You know, I've run 8 half marathons. I've never run a full half marathon. I've run 30Ks with a friend supporting them in the Singapore Marathon a few years ago. I've done that twice, actually. And I remember getting to the 30K point and going, I'm so glad I don't have to run another 12K because that really was starting to hurt then. Yeah. 30K was manageable when you're fairly fit. You've done half marathons. You can do that, just slow, of course. So what about the real longer distances and how far should people go, ones that are doing the marathon?
That's a really good question. And that's something that I've been getting asked all the time. And so on Tuesday, on my next blog, I've written a blog called Why Mileage is Important, but Not That Important.
Mm-hmm.
You can check that out at coach.fitness/blog. But for today, you may not have to run as far as you think you do. So the longest run that I believe anyone should do for a marathon is only 3 hours.
3 hours,
okay. The faster guys will cover around 30K. The slower guys will cover around 20K.
Mm-hmm.
But that's enough. After about 2.5 hours, the benefit
decreases,
plateaus,
yep,
and the risk of getting hurt goes up.
Three hours for anybody, whether they're an elite runner like you or a recreational runner like me.
Yeah, so typically on our programs anyway, the faster guys will typically do about 240. And they'll just cover a bit more distance in that time. The more beginner runners I'll put to 3 hours, right. And they'll cover a little less, even though it's longer.
Yep.
But the whole idea is to build volume through frequency. And so I'm a big believer in running more often, but less, because it changes the load recovery balance. It makes it less stressful. And over time, you accrue strength.
What number of weeks are you doing the really...
The longest one,
yeah.
Usually 4 to 5 weeks before the race.
4 to 5 weeks before the race. Okay, for the half marathon, how far should you run? You know, that's obviously a bit shorter. It's half 21.1, right?
Yep.
So when should you be doing that longer run, and how long should that be?
So same thing, 4 to 5 weeks before. Ideally around 1 hour 45 to 2 hours, depending on your current fitness and ability.
Okay, 1 hour 45 to 2 hours. So that could be almost the whole half marathon, right?
It will, yeah.
Yeah, so that's just a time thing, 1 hour 45.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, other things to keep in mind. How many times a week should people be running? You like higher frequency of runs. Tell us what kind of schedule you'd recommend.
So for a half marathon, let's start with a 10. So for a 10K, I think 3 days a week is good enough to get you to the finish line relatively safely and not completely suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And from half marathon, 4 times a week. From marathon, 4 to 5 times a week.
Okay.
Usually during the week, up to about an hour. And then, like I said, on the weekend, you do a longer run, which as the weeks pass between now and 9th of December, you build that up from around an hour and a half up to that 3 hour mark that we spoke about.
Now, if people like me who are addicted to exercise and feel that they're slacking off or they're not taking a rest day, what would you recommend? How many days off? 1 day off and do the pool, or what would you do?
Yeah, typically I try and encourage everybody to take one full day off.
One full day and do nothing.
Yeah, ideally, because this is the thing too, like people don't realize, but the brain uses approximately 20% of the body's total energy. And just the simple act of doing something takes mental energy. And so you never fully recover. And then you combine that with, you know, work and kids and a social life and our phones hogging our brain. You never really fully recover. So I've become a big advocate of at least 1 day off per week.
Mm.
But you can do some cross training if you like. I know you're a fan of swimming.
Yep.
So swimming is a very nice complement to running because it's very low impact.
So nothing wrong with going swimming on your rest day instead of running?
No, not if you feel you absolutely have to do something. Another good one is yoga.
Ah, right. Yes, yoga. That hurts. All right, we're talking to Ben Pullum, the founder at Coached, former elite athlete, professional triathlete from New Zealand, been in Singapore many years. What about, you know, calorie intake and fat burning and that kind of stuff? You know, should you be thinking about, look, I'm carrying that extra 2 or 3 kilograms. I need to get rid of that.
Yeah. I mean, I always say to people, one of the fastest ways to get fast is to lose excess body fat.
Mm.
So it's really interesting. If you look at a typical marathon field, you would expect these people to be very lean.
Mm.
But unfortunately, that's not really the case. And I think it illustrates the fact that you can't out-exercise a terrible diet. And so diet plays a very important role. And this is something that I didn't understand as an athlete. I was very much a sugar athlete. I was carbo loaded.
Really?
Lots of bread, pasta, rice, and
sugar.
Sugar diet. Mm. And interestingly, when I stopped racing, I tripled in fat in the first 3 months.
Tripled?
Yeah. Now, I mean, I didn't get fat because I was insanely lean, but I could see where that was going. And as the owner of a new fitness company, it's obviously not ideal, right?
Yes, yes.
And so at that point, we opened up our first lab and we got some metabolic testing equipment and I started measuring fat burning and used myself as a guinea pig. And the first change that I made, just out of curiosity, was I changed my 4 bits of toast with Vegemite.
Vegemite, like Australian Vegemite.
I'm a Kiwi. I love that stuff. But I changed that to bacon and egg, something I'd always been told is bad for me and it's high fat.
Mm.
And within 2 weeks, I halved the fat on my stomach.
Is that right?
And so that was pretty interesting.
Mm. So you'd say really start watching your diet. We're 14 weeks out from the Standard Chartered Singapore Marathon. Would you eliminate sugars or what would you do?
Yeah, so diet's one of these subjects. It's a little like politics and religion. It can be a bit sensitive.
Upset people,
so,
right?
Yeah, you guys are not going to like me very much if I tell you, but the general gist is you want to eat a diet that limits the processed carbohydrates.
Mm.
You want to take away the bread, the rice, the pasta, the noodles, the cereals, those types of processed foods.
It's all and things I like.
Exactly, right? And replace them with some healthy fats like avocados, fish, nuts, eggs, coconut products, that type of thing. Because I think when you lower the carbohydrate, you improve your fat burning. And if you want to lose any excess weight, having a good fat burning system is obviously very important.
Interesting. So let's say people are out there and they're like thinking, well, maybe the marathon's a bit much for me. Even the half might be too much for me. Let's say they want to do the 10K. When do you think they need to start training to do a 10K? Let's say they're in just average shape.
Average shape, probably 10 to 12 weeks before would be enough to do a bit of a focus build up and to gain enough fitness to safely cross the finish line and enjoy the experience.
So you'd say have another 2 weeks of just living it up and then they can start getting serious for a 10K.
Yeah, I mean, the sooner they get onto it, the better they're going to do, I think. Mm-hmm. And like I said, like you guys can all finish a 10K tomorrow. It's just it will hurt and you will likely suffer for a little while after it as well with sore legs and, you know.
Lactic acid and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So the sooner you get into it and the sooner you get started, it makes the experience a lot nicer and you'll hopefully have some fun and want to do it again.
What about targets for people doing the full and half marathon at the Standard Chartered Singapore Marathon? Do you think they should set themselves time targets? You know, we all do that as recreational runners.
That's an awesome question, man. And it's a really interesting thing. Like, I was an outcome-obsessed athlete for many years.
Results-driven.
Like, yeah, I had to do X race and come X place to cover, you know, win enough money to cover my expenses and to get enough points to get into the next race and so on and so forth. And so it was very outcome-focused. And in 2000, I think it was 2006, I moved to my last coach. And he basically sat me down and said, look, forget about the outcomes. They take care of themselves. What I want you to do is do the training I prescribe to the best of your ability. I want you to sleep 8+ hours a day. I want you to eat better, and I want you to limit the amounts of stress in your life.
That's quite a shift, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you do that, you will have the best result possible given your starting fitness level and the length of time we had to prepare you. And the interesting byproduct of that was I started to enjoy the sport again, right? Because when you take the focus off the result, you're just free to enjoy the journey.
Yes, yes.
And that was a really nice thing. And so now people come to me as a coach and they say, Ben, you know, I want to qualify for Boston. I say, that's awesome, man. That's a great goal to have. Let's put it back in mind. You do the training I tell you to do. You eat in the way I tell you to eat. You get plenty of sleep and watch the magic happen.
Wow. And that reminds me, actually, one time, as I mentioned, I've done 8 half marathons. I was going back to my hometown of Sydney and, of course, coming from the hot climate here to winter in Sydney, or I think it was May going into winter. And there was a half marathon in the round the city of Sydney. I said, I'm just going to go to the half marathon in Sydney. I haven't really trained, but I'm just going to go and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best runs I've ever had. I broke 2 hours, awesome. Which was good. But I said, look, even if That's I don't great. Break 2 hours, I'm still going to enjoy it. But it was a wonderful experience because I had no real expectations about, getting a great time or anything. Just wanted to take in the sights of my hometown.
It's funny how that works, right? Like some races, thinking back to when I was racing pro, was, you know, I'd get sick 2 weeks before and think, oh, my race is over, and you just give up, right?
Mm.
But then because you give up and you release the attachment to the outcome, good things often happen because you have no expectation.
Yes.
And so, I really think just getting in there, doing your best, and that should be the driver too, because I think a lot of times people set these time goals, but they're also influenced by external factors, you know, like the race might be really busy and you get stuck in a crowd, or it might be an incredibly unusually hot day or very windy. And you may run to the best of your absolute ability and miss your timing as a result of those things. And in which case you may consider that a failure.
Yes.
Which is a real shame because you did your best, you expressed your fitness in the best possible way. And it was just something external that upset things.
I remember, just finally, I think the first half marathon I did was here in Singapore. It might have been 2003, Standard Charter Singapore Marathon 2003, did the half. The clothes I brought brand new clothes, and they started chafing, and I'd never worn them before, and even the socks, and it was the worst thing. I didn't expect it, and these little things come up, don't they? Always never break in new clothes in a race, right?
Number one rule.
Yeah. That was a rookie mistake.
That is an absolute rookie mistake. And people make it with nutrition as well. They think, oh, cool, free
gels,
free drinks.
Exactly.
And they stock up.
And I was drinking this same thing. I was drinking the same sports drink I'd never drunk before, and it was making me queasy. And I'm like, oh, this tastes good. But then about an hour in, I'm like, wow, I felt about terrible.
You don't want to make those kind of mistakes. And on that note too, like something that I hadn't considered when I started coaching was the importance of race execution. You know, people think it's all about fitness on race day, and it is obviously, but I've seen a lot of times where people are fit and their result doesn't reflect the fitness that they have. And I had a case, and I talk about this quite a bit, but about 5-6 years ago, I was coaching two Aussie guys actually.
Mm-hmm.
One was 46, 47, the other guy was 50.
Yeah.
They both went to the New York Marathon to run, and they were in 3-hour shape. They're pretty fit guys. Now, I had them in our lab doing a lactate test, which is a fitness test, about a week before, and they were very similar fitness level. The younger guy should have theoretically been able to run maybe 2 minutes faster over the marathon. The results came in New York, And the 50-year-old ran dead on 3 hours, which is a fantastic run. Great. And he maximized the fitness that he has.
It's fantastic time for a 50-year-old.
It's not too shabby, right? Mm. And then the other guy ran 3:18.
Wow.
Right? So that's a pretty big time difference that had nothing to do with fitness. It was the way they applied the fitness on race day. Mm. And so having some self-control and being conservative early in the race is very, very important. If you start too fast, you burn up your energy at a higher rate, you accumulate lactate at a higher rate. Over time, you'll slow down and lose a lot more in the back end of the race than you can ever gain in the front end of a race.
Some great tips there from Ben Pullum, the founder at Coached on the Standard Chartered Singapore Marathon 2018. For now, thank you very much, Ben.
Thanks, mate.